Thank you, Pastor. Well, I would sing a song, but I don't want to show Brother Brian up. I was thinking as he was singing, if I was passing by two rooms and Brother Roloff was in one and Brother Bryant was in the other, it'd be hard for me to distinguish who was who. I thought that's about as good of an impression that I've ever heard.
Amen.
And it's a great song, too.
Yes, sir.
A great song, great truth. Let me say this. My wife read something somewhere and said it to me, told it to me, and I said, well, put that on a piece of paper. I hope I can remember it. If I can't, I've got it written down here in my Bible. But she said, she read, truth is like a surgery. It hurts, but it heals.
Amen.
And a lie is like a pain reliever. It gives temporary relief, but it has effects forever.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
I couldn't help but think about that when Dr. Bryant was preaching.
Amen.
You go to a lot of places and learn how good you are.
Yeah.
And how far you've advanced.
Oh, right.
And how important you are to God. But we sit at the feet of a Bible teacher.
Amen.
And we learn where we really are.
That's right.
And it had not been for the Lord Jesus, we would not be as far along as we are, that's for sure.
Yes, sir.
But he teaches us there's far more road to travel.
Amen.
Many more good things to do. Thank you. That helped me.
Amen.
That helped me. You may be seated. I wish you would mark John 12. Will you do that? I know the verse. I can quote it from memory. But I want you to turn there with me in a few minutes and look at something there that I just recently have learned. And I was almost late for the prayer room, writing down a thought I got just before leaving the room.
Amen.
And I want to get to that at least tonight. We are in Hebrews with John 12 marked. We are in Hebrews chapter 1. And we are dealing with God's glory unveiled in Christ.
Amen.
And by the way, He is God's glory.
Yes, He is.
Yes. And I think that's evident in the 19th Psalm, many other places as well. But let's only read the first three verses tonight. Okay, we read the entire chapter last night, but I think we will read but three verses tonight, verse 1, 2, and 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You pray with me and for me. Father, how we thank You for this great schooling we have received tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the truth. And I pray that we will let it operate in our hearts and on our hearts as we have been challenged tonight. I pray now that You will help me with a thought that you've touched my heart with. And use me in this hour to bring glory and honor to your wonderful name. Help me, O God, to magnify the Lord Jesus and to edify this body of believers. I ask my prayer and offer my thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, last evening, what we did mostly is just go over some things about the Lord that we find here in these opening verses. And we did move on down a little bit into verse 4. And there where our Lord is made much better than the angels. And we mentioned two, Michael and Gabriel, and we also brought in Lucifer, who is, I guess we would call, a fallen angel. And of course he is Satan. When he tried to usurp the throne of God, he got kicked out of heaven. There's about six times there he says, I will, as we read in Isaiah. But God said, no, you won't.
Amen.
And so Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky.
Amen.
And so I want you to know Christ was there when he got kicked out of heaven.
Yes, sir.
And Christ is going to be there when he's kicked into hell.
That's right.
In eternity in the lake of fire.
Yes, sir.
Where the beast and the false prophet are.
Amen.
So we're going to begin. We closed out last night just giving you seven things here that we're going to discuss the rest of this week, the Lord willing. So we'll begin with the first one tonight. We see here in these verses his communication. And I tell our Bible Institute students, don't ever stop studying.
Right.
Keep on studying. Even though you're going to be preaching, and while you're sitting there, you be studying, going over in your mind. And as I sat right there while the congregation was singing, and I was doing my best to sing too and think at the same time, that is a hard thing to do, I assure you of that. But anyhow, this thought came to me that God communicated unto mankind who and what he is through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right.
Now, if you will notice here in these verses, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now here it comes. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now here's what I want to say about that. That Jesus Christ was the personal voice and the precise message of Almighty God. These and much more did Christ Jesus communicate unto mankind. Now, let's go to John chapter 12. I ask you to mark that. And here is the verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Now, we know who all the judgment has been committed to.
Right.
John 5:22, that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
Right.
Then he said, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Right.
Now, here is what I saw. Notice here, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me, receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same. Jesus Christ is the same as the Word of God. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not as the New World Translation reads, and was a God. I had this lady come to my door on a Saturday morning, so I knew who she was, or what she was. And she said, "Sir, I'd like to talk to you about God." I stood in the doorway and said, "Yes, ma'am. Just help yourself." And so she talked and talked and talked, and I sat there listening. And so then I said, "Now, wait a minute." I said, and she pulled out her green New World Translation. And I said, "Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." She said, "Now, I don't believe mine reads like that." I said, "It probably doesn't. But how does yours read?" So that's how I learned how it read. I didn't read it. And so she said, "Well, mine reads, and the Word was a God." And I said, "Well," I said, "there is no indefinite article there in the language that our Bible was translated out of." And so she started backpedaling. And I said, "Now, wait a minute." She said, "You know what?" She said, "Sometimes men can talk better to men than women can. I'll see you." And so I never did hear any more after that. But I assure you that the Word is God. Now, Jesus Christ is the living Word. Now, I'm talking about the communication. How do we communicate one to another? Our words, do we not? All right, that's the most, I guess, significant means of communication. He is the living Word. This Bible is the written Word. And the written Word is all about the living Word. Amen and amen. This Bible is the record or the witness of the living Word. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness." And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. Amen. Male and female created He them. So God was revealing unto Adam Himself, because He made him in His image after His own likeness. Now we come over to chapter 3 and verse 9 of Genesis. By now Adam has eaten the forbidden fruit. And of course now the Shekinah glory, or whatever clothing they were in, it was some type of a glory, because they were naked and knew not that they were naked. God had clothed them with a certain type of glory. Now this glory has gone, and so Adam hears a voice of God calling in the cool of the evening. Undoubtedly he and God had had walks and talks together in the evening, so he's calling for him, "Adam, where art thou?" Now, God knew exactly where Adam was. Amen. He's not talking here about the location. "Adam, where are you in what I told you to do and not to do?" So Adam came and made the confession unto God. And I was thinking about this, Pastor, how wonderful. Adam could not get to God. Adam was running from God.
Yes, sir.
Now, if God and Adam ever got together, God was going to have to come. Amen. I'm liking this. God was going to have to come where Adam was. And God did that to get a confession out of him that he had sinned, so God could forgive him, amen, and prove that forgiveness by the slaying of an animal and shedding of blood and covering them with a robe which was a type, or a coat which was a type of a robe of righteousness. What I'm saying is this. if man ever gets to God, God is going to have to come to man.
Amen.
And if man ever learns of God, God is going to have to reveal himself unto mankind. It is not that God has found out man, but it is that God chose to reveal and make himself known unto man.
Amen.
Now, he didn't have to do that.
Right.
He would have still been God.
Yes,
but he chose to reveal and make himself known unto mankind.
Amen.
Now, isn't it wonderful, as Brother Bryant was preaching tonight, about we are complete in him.
Right.
And that we know him in the free pardon of sin. But you and I know personally the God who spoke the worlds into existence.
Amen.
We know the God who holds, as I talked last night, all of the universe together.
Amen.
We know the God who spoke, and it was so. We know him in a personal manner. Why? Because God chose fit to reveal himself and make himself known unto mankind.
Amen.
Now, when God was talking to Moses about the tabernacle, you probably are familiar with that, and that's not my text tonight, but you know quite a bit about the tabernacle. And here's one thing I suppose you know too, but it's a blessing to me to think about it. When God started revealing to Moses how to build that tabernacle, the first piece he told Moses how to build was not the fence around it or the gate, but it was the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
And that Ark of the Covenant was no more than an empty box until the mercy seat was set upon it.
Amen.
Now, the Ark of the Covenant represents two things. Number one, it represents the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
If you remember when the Israelites were in a battle with the Philistines, this is in the days of Samuel the prophet, and they called, the Philistines were getting the best of them, and they were fearful, and they went and brought the Ark of the Covenant into the camp.
Right.
And all the Israelites shouted. And so the Philistines began to wonder what all this shouting and rejoicing was about. And you know what they said? That God has come into their camp.
Right.
Amen. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God.
Amen.
And again, this is not my burden, but you think about it there when Joshua is getting ready to cross the Jordan River, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant go out and stand, and God divides the water. Amen. I believe the river overflowed his banks all the way until the feet of those priests dipped in the brink of that river, and she parted. Amen.
Yeah,
you believe that? You better believe I believe that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I believe the one who made it can stop it,
Amen. Dam
it up, do anything he wants to with it. Amen. And so it represented the presence of God. But then number two, it represented the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now watch this. God gave Moses instructions first to build the Ark of the Covenant. It is a picture of God coming out unto man. If man is going to come in, God is going to have to come out.
Amen.
And the reason that I'm going to heaven is because Christ came down from heaven.
Amen.
And communicated that great love to my soul and did the wondrous work that Brother Bryant preached about when he went to the cross and died in my and your place. You see, Jesus Christ is the Word of God personified. He is the way to God provided.
Amen.
I remember when I was in South Carolina in a meeting, the day that they bombed the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon. And a man of our church called me and said, "Brother Jones, have you heard what's happened?" I said, "No." He said, "They've bombed the World Trade Centers." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yes." I said, "It's on television." So I'm studying, and you know what they do. They show the same thing just over and over and over. And so when they would show, so I had it this way, and I'm sitting here studying. And so when they'd show something new, I would watch that. Well, I didn't know much about what was going on and all the tragedy and the threat. And, of course, I was listening and trying to pray for our country, for our president, for our leaders, and for the victims that were involved in all of that. And then on the way home, I turned on the radio to listen to the rest of the news. This was a Friday, and they were having a prayer meeting in Washington. I don't know if you remember that or not, but they were. And they were having, they had every denomination, every movement you could imagine there, and they were talking about all of them. And they interviewed Franklin Graham. And this woman was talking to him. She said, "Now, Franklin," I think she called him by his first name. She may have called him Mr. Graham. But now Franklin, let's call him Mr. Graham. I'd rather do that. "Mr. Graham, now you know so-and-so over here, he's a Hindu, and he believes in a God. He believes in God. And we got so-and-so over here, he's a Muslim, and he believes in God." And she's pointing all that out. And Franklin Graham said, "Well," he said, "Jesus Christ said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.'" Now, I don't know how many thousands of people were listening to that.
Yes, sir.
And she said, "But now, what about these men and what their thoughts are?" And she almost was about to call him a bigamist. I don't think she did. She wouldn't have done that. But she was, her words were leading up to that. He said, "Ma'am, Jesus Christ said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.' I can't help what those men believe or what those men think. If you're going to God, you're going through Jesus Christ." And that's exactly right. Now, Oliver Green said this. He said, "A man has a right to believe what he wants to believe, but if you're going to heaven, you're going by Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ came down from heaven that we might go up to heaven.
Amen.
To communicate that great love and mercy of God toward you and me. So he's the Word of God personified. He is the way to God provided. And he is the Word of God perfected. Now, how then are we going to get in to the presence of God? Seeing then, we have a great high priest which is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Not Christ, but Jesus. That's important because of the next verse. All right. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. If you've got a good profession in Christ, you better hang on to it.
Amen.
Amen. And you can have a good. He said, "Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly."
Amen.
Now, that does not mean we come into the presence of God with our fist raised in a demanding way.
No,
that word boldly means to come in before Him with confidence.
Amen.
Amen. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Where is the throne of grace? Where is it? It's sure not down here.
Right.
So it's got to be up there.
Yes, sir.
So let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, Jesus Christ in that little passage of Scripture is our high priest. The high priest goes in before God to officiate in behalf of the people.
That's right.
Does he not?
Yes,
amen. All right. Something else he did. He goes in. He was not only the one who did the offering. He was the very offering itself. And so he goes in. I do not believe the blood. Thank you, preacher, for that great exhortation there about the blood. I do not believe the blood of Christ fell into the ground and rotted. Amen. I believe the blood of Christ, I don't know how it got there outside he himself carrying it. Amen. And putting it on the mercy seat. Now, if we're going before the throne of grace, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, then we're going to have to go to heaven. We go to heaven in our prayer life. Amen. Isn't that not right, Pastor? Preacher, we go to heaven in our prayer life. How can we get into heaven? Because he came down from heaven. He went back up into heaven. And thank God we're going up into heaven with him and because of him. And we go before the throne of grace because we have a great high priest and because of the blood. Now, look with me quickly. I can quote this too. But look in chapter 10, or I could. I don't know if I could now or not. But in chapter 10, verse 10, you young fellows that are preachers, cram your heads full of the Word of God. Amen. Just keep on cramming it and cramming it and cramming it. When you're sitting around driving down the road writing, go over Scripture in your mind. Amen. Keep it up there. Because the day is going to come and it'll slip out pretty easily. All right? So here we go. And we're in chapter 10. Look at this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Where is that? Where is the holy? Where is the holiest place? What was in the holiest place?
Yeah.
You have the holy place. You have the most holy place.
Right.
Here is the holiest. How do we get back there? Amen. There was a veil preventing. Right. The high priest could go but one time a year. But you and I can go several times a day if we wish to go. Sure we can. Why? Because the veil has been torn. Amen. God, one author said this. He said, did you notice the scripture said the veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. So he said, God reached down. I don't know. But anyway, it's gone. And so now you and I can go. Why? Because of the blood of Christ and because of he is our great high priest. And so he officiates in our behalf. And now we are privileged to go right into the presence of God.
Amen.
Notice how our text begins. Would you do that? Notice with me, please, how our text begins. God. This is the only book in the Bible that begins with the word God. There are some chapters now, but this is the only word. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners. Now, divers, you know that. You heard about this, I heard about this. This black preacher, you know, they can say things just like nobody can say them. I just love a black preacher that preaches this book. Man, I just love to listen to him. He just got a way to say things. And he said, he was preaching about Jesus curing those divers diseases. So he said, I'm going to preach today on divers disease. He said, you go home and you dive in the bed. And said, then you dive in the car. And quick as the service over, you dive back out into the car. And so he just went on and on and on and on. And that, I thought that was a great blessing. But, you know, it's divers manner, different mannership. So he chose to reveal himself, of course, as the angel of the Lord. And then in dreams, God did that. And in visions and signs and even an audible voice. God spoke to some. He spoke to Moses face to face, didn't he? And God spoke to some in an audible voice. But the greatest means,
yes, sir.
Greatest means, this tops it all. God came himself to reveal himself unto mankind in the person of the Son.
Amen.
And that Son, of course, is Jesus Christ. And we've quoted this already, but it won't hurt to say it again. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that can't be but one person. That has to be Jesus Christ. It has to be, because He was made flesh, God in flesh. Remember Timothy, and so here's another terrible, terrible error, another of the hundreds of the modern versions. And our Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
Right.
Amen. Seen of angels. It justified the Spirit. Seen of angels. Priests and the Gentiles. Bleeding on the world. Seated up in glory. And so what he's saying there is this, that God himself manifested himself in flesh. But now the modern versions do not read that. Amen. Do not read that. Isn't it amazing that when you read their reason for the changing of the reading there, they say some manuscripts.
Yeah, right.
Some manuscripts. Well, I'm going to tell you about the sum. You want to hear about the sum? I have that in my book on the Word. 300 manuscripts read God was manifest in the flesh. Only 11 read something else. They're not even honest in their footnotes.
That's right.
But here's what they do. Here's what they do. They went the way that the Vatican manuscripts went. Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. They went that way. And so when they had to use the Textus Receptus, because those were not complete. But when that read differently than the Textus Receptus, they followed that reading.
Right.
And so that's how they come up with that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, you just hang on to the truth.
Amen.
This is the truth.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Amen. Can I give you one more black preacher's quote? I heard him preaching. He said, he's talking about the Bible. He said, it's been through the flood, but the flood couldn't drown it. He said, it's been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. He said, it's been fed to the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it. I'm going to add a fourth one. It's been in the camp of the liberals, but they can't destroy it.
Amen.
Amen. We got the eternal Word of Almighty God. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, listen, the greatest means is the incarnation, the personification of the Word of God. Of course, that took place in Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation 19, John said, a door was open in heaven, and I saw a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
Yes, sir.
That's a foreign god to many people today. But the Bible says he doth make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Amen.
Amen.
And on his head he said he had many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew himself. But himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood.
Yes.
Where did he get that blood? From the battle of Armageddon.
Right.
He doth judge, he doth make war. His clothed a vesture dipped in blood, And his name is called, say it, the Word of God.
That's right.
That's his name.
Amen.
So, Brother Butler, did you ever get to meet him, Dr. Bryant, our devotional speaker for 25 years? Okay, at the church. He said this one day. He said, you can't separate Christ from the Word. That's all he said. And he's right.
Right.
There's a lot of people profess to know the Lord Jesus, but they deny this book.
Right.
There's something wrong there,
right,
brother.
Right.
There's something wrong there. You can't separate them. They're one and the same.
Amen.
Okay. Here's my note. I'm going to have to read it. I wrote it fast. Okay. When any person presents themselves or is presented as the personal representative of God upon earth, he is bordering or has entered into blasphemy.
Yep.
God has only had one, God Himself, God in the person of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the only perfect representative. But there's a lot of religious leaders in our world right now that want their people to look at them as they are the special representative of God. Some of them go so far as to say that their words are more authoritative than this book. That is a bunch of baloney, and he's blind and he's leading the blind, and they're both going to fall into ditch. Thank God for truth. Amen. Amen. Thank God for truth. God is speaking. Christ was God speaking. When preachers, teachers, or witnesses speak the Word of God, it is God speaking through them. Brother Billy Kelly had a message, I guess you've all heard of it, of Ehud, when he went down to the king of Moab, Eglon. Remember that? And anyway, Ehud was left-handed. Most people were right-handed, and he was left-handed. So he just reached and got that dagger off of his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And Billy Kelly had a message very famously titled, When Lefty Let Fatty Have It.
Yep.
But here's what I want to say about that experience. When Ehud said to Eglon, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose up on his feet. I have a message from God. There's your good text. Unto thee. He got a message to the sinner. He got a message to the saint.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can fill in the blanks. Amen. I have a message from God unto them. Boy, he had one, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, when a preacher of the gospel of this word is preaching this word, he's not preaching what he said. He's preaching what God said. And that's why it's so important for us to listen when a man is preaching the Bible. Amen. That's why it's so important to listen, because this actually is God speaking. You've heard that, don't you? When we pray, or haven't you? Excuse me. When we pray, we speak to God. When we read His Bible, He's speaking to us, because this is God's Word unto us. God did speak in one time or another and in different ways. This was to prepare us for His voice in and by Christ.
Amen.
And I quoted a verse last night. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He came to make Him known. This is His communication. God has spoken unto us in these last days by His Son.
Amen.
Now let me say this and I'm done. All right. God will send no other.
That's right. All right.
He will use no other word than His.
That's right.
And all of the things today that are preached that they say God said, People go, they make them feel good, make them just, as I said earlier, just make them as God just thinks, you know, of you, and pull yourself up. Everything that you need to advance in life is in you, and you work it out and you dig it out and you get it out. And I'm going to tell you what. Dr. John McCormick said this in our pulpit, said, I've heard these people talk about, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. Dr. McCormick said this. He said, the only thing any of us deserve is to go to hell. But God loved us and sent Jesus into the world that we might be saved through Him. Christ finished God's work. Now listen, Christ finished God's work. The apostles finished His word. It is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it.
Amen.
Nor anything taken from it.
Amen.
Let me say this. One more experience and I'm done. I was traveling from Augusta, Georgia, around Atlanta home because I'd went there. My daughter-in-law's sister had given birth to a little baby. And he was born with his lungs full of holes, and that was the only hospital that could offer any hope of curing. And so he did. He's preaching today.
Amen.
Yeah, he sure did. And so I drove around by there, and so I thought, well, rather than go all the way back up and across the mountain, I'll just go into Atlanta and up Chattanooga and home. And so I was coming down, I guess that's 85. I was coming down 85, and I had this radio station. I turned it on, and so these fellows were on there, and they were having people call in and ask Bible questions. And so some listener would call in and say, well, I don't understand this verse. And they'd read the verse in the King James Bible. And so this talk show host, he would turn to some guy there in the studio, and he would say, brother, how does that read in the original? And so he would turn over and read out of a modern version. Oh, I wish they'd had cell phones in that day. That was many years ago. And so he'd read in a modern version. Here's what I'd like to just pulled off the side of the road and got my phone out and called in. I'd said, sir, he's reading now the original. Does he even know what the original was written in? I guarantee you he couldn't read it.
Right.
And has he been to heaven?
Right.
That's where the original is.
Amen.
There are no original manuscripts in existence as of now.
That's right.
There are no original autographs.
Right.
There are no original autographs. There are no original manuscripts as they were copied down.
Right.
All we have is copies of copies.
That's right.
Why, Brother Jones, you'd make a statement like that? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
God never promised to preserve the manuscript. He promised to preserve the word.
Amen.
And we've got it. It's forever and ever settled. Thank you, preacher.